Welcome to another episode of Grief Talk, everything you want to know about grief and more. I'm your host, Vaughn Solis. As an author, life transformation coach, online instructor, and bereaved mom since 2005, I'll be bringing you great content that is informative, inspiring, and practical. Whether you have suffered a loss or other adversity, stay tuned and tapped in as I cover a variety of topics to help you get where you want to go on your journey to heal and grow. Today's guest is Patty Scallon. Patty has worked in the alternative healthcare field for 20 years and is the former owner of a holistic wellness center for 10 of them. Her passion is to help people pull the pieces of their lives together to experience an abundance of joy, health, and wealth. Patty believes that the body can heal itself if we give it what it needs. Today, working with a high-impact medical breakthrough that works at the body's cellular level, Patty educates people and practitioners on how to live younger and longer, pain-free, and with the desire and ability to fully engage in their life. So welcome to the show, Patty. I have been looking so forward to having you on this podcast.
Thank you, Vaughn. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So for the audience, I'm going to say right up that when I first met Patty a short while ago, one of the things that drew me to her and we instantly connected was Patty is a poster woman for what she is sharing. As I introduced her as an energy worker for 20 years and also into offering a new medical breakthrough that is a form of alternative healing, if you will. But Patty teaches all about vibrant living. And Patty, we're going to get to it right away. And I'm going to let you tell people how old you are if you want to share that, because that's what made me kind of go, what? And you need to come on my show to teach what you're educating people about. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, but I will turn it over to you with the first question being, I know you work with Pillars of Health, and we're going to be diving into a lot more information about your background, the work you do today, who you help, how you help them, the benefits of energy, healing, and so on. But if we could just set this up into the Pillars of Health that you work with, which are so, so critical to keep and maintain our bodies in ultimate health. And as I will get into a little bit, you and I talked just briefly before this about how trauma, pain, financial worries, any kind of stress, any kind of imbalance can severely damage our bodies. And this episode is for people who want vibrant living. Even if you don't have it today, Patty will show you how you can get it and maintain that desire to live that way. So over to you, Patty, Pillars of Health.
Well, thank you. It's true. Everything in our life is a choice. Not what we experience, but how we react to those. And they highly impact our mental attitude, our physical body, all of those things. It's kind of like connecting those dots. So right out the gate, yes, I am 70 years old. And I know that I don't look it, but here's what's really important. I don't feel it, you know, but I take care of myself. People go, oh, well, you're just lucky. No, I work at it. I work at it. I've worked at it for years. And it's important what we put in our bodies, not just our food, but even our thoughts. What are we putting in there? And they affect how we, you know, how we live our life and how fully engaged can we be in our life.
Yes, I just wrote down here, health is not luck or just genes. So let's dive into what your pillars are.
Okay, so when I work with people, although I do have the products, I like to get to the source of why they're experiencing what they're experiencing. So the first thing I talk about is, how do you hydrate? How much water are you drinking in a day? What are your nutrition is like, right? Are you eating processed food? Are you eating a lot of sugar? Are you moving your body? It doesn't have to be heavy duty exercise, but are you moving your body? Yeah. Are you sleeping well? And then the last thing is stress. What are you doing to relieve stress? Because let's face it, we all have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some have more at different times, and I understand that. Believe me, I've come through, you know, quite a few dark souls of the night, but you can get on that other side. You can feel good again, but it is a choice, and we have to take responsibility for our health.
Yeah. So when you talk about these, you know, these, we'll call them, well, they are your pillars, your water, nutrition, activity, sleeping, and stress. Most people, I'm going to wager, have one or more of these out of balance. Are people attuned to when they're out of balance, when one of these pillars is not working in their life?
Well, some people are more in tune than others. And then if we're in the middle of a life crisis, when we really need to pay even more attention, we don't, because we're down or we're depressed. We don't feel like getting out of bed. And I understand that. But the only person that can change that is you, right? And, you know, I've always had that belief that our bodies were designed to heal itself, but we need to give it what it needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's about taking that responsibility. Like, I'll have people that tell me that they're full of inflammation, so, you know, their joints hurt and all of this. And we talk about sugar, and they go, well, I'm addicted to sugar. I can't give that up. Well, then that's a choice. So what you're really choosing is sugar or living pain-free, which is more important to you, right? And I'm not saying they're easy decisions.
No.
And I'm also not saying that it's an overnight thing, right? Like, in other words, if you have, let's just take nutrition, diet, okay, sugar or carbs. If you're eating it three meals a day, let's work on just two meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what I mean? Like a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. If you're not used to exercise, we have to move our bodies for more reasons than one.
Yeah.
If you're not used to it, just take a walk down the corner and back, start there.
Yeah.
Anything is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And my son coined a little saying years ago when he went through his own trauma, the more you do, the more you do. And it's really true. As you start to, you know, move your body a little bit, you realize, you know what, I do feel a little bit better. And, you know, just taking a walk, it's not just your physical body that you're impacting. You're impacting your mind, you know, to get outside in the fresh air and see the trees and see nature is good for our emotional well-being, too.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw in on a very personal note. I was inactive for a little while, other than some walks, and just due to my schedule being a lot busier and, you know, so on and so forth. And so I made a decision a couple of months ago, okay, you're going to start with these three exercises. I used to be able to do maybe 10, and I said, start with three and increase them to just what you can handle, what feels good for your body, and it makes a difference mentally. And I can actually see the benefits I want, you know, to the area of my body that I'm working out. So you can modify what you used to do and love, or even if you've never done anything, just start with something really small. And it's true, the more you do, the more repetitions you add and so on and so forth. But I know when to stop, and I know personally when to go, you know what, that's enough. You're not trying to be an Olympian here.
Well, yeah. You know what my husband started with? Just going up and down the steps like three times. And then it was five times.
Yes.
And that's seven. You know, so but here's a really big piece, Vaughn, when we try and justify that, you know, we're too busy or we're too tired or we're all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
What I want you to ask yourself is, are you important enough?
Yes, but a lot of people don't think they are.
Correct. But that's something that, you know, we need to ponder. And I think that when we make even those little steps towards doing something, we feel good because we've done something for ourselves. You know, we as women especially are always doing for everyone else, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're the nurturer, we're the doers, we're the givers, and we kind of put ourselves last.
Yes, I fully agree with that. I fully agree with that.
Put yourself first, even if it's for 10 minutes. You know, I put a program on my computer. They have 7-minute workouts. So what I do is literally, like, if I'm on a lot of Zoom calls, but I have, you know, a half hour break, I take 7 minutes. I go behind this chair. I put it on and I do it. Yeah. Who doesn't have 7 minutes?
I literally think it's attitude and it's mental conditioning. You need to get yourself to a point where you value yourself enough, whatever it is you're chasing, that you'll invest this, that, and whatever in it. But I'm all about make the start. Just don't not start. Make the start and see where it takes you. Be willing and whatever you're looking for. But I do want to ask you, Patty, I want to ask you two things. First of all, I want to ask if you could just give us a couple of tips on how much water we should drink and what kind of a diet should we be looking at. And then I want to ask you, what are we working towards? So let's start with the water. How much water are you educating people on that they should be consuming a day?
Right. So the correct amount is basically half your body weight in ounces.
Oh.
And most people don't drink enough, but there's a lot of people that drink too much. And there is such a thing as too much, because what happens if you go much past that, you will begin to flush vital minerals and vitamins out of your body. So, you know, really half your body weight in the ounces is what's really good. And, you know, the thing with hydration, I mean, I would say that's number one. If you want to change anything, start there. Our bodies are up to 70% water. When you have that afternoon slump,
yeah,
you know what it is? It's your dehydrating. And if you feel thirsty, you're way past dehydration, okay? People go, well, I drink coffee all day. Coffee is dehydrating you. For every cup of coffee, you have to add an extra cup of water.
Really? I don't drink coffee anymore. I'm a tea drinker. Is that true for tea?
Sure. It's the caffeine.
Now, yeah, the caffeine.
If it's herbal, no. Yeah. But you know, our brain is mainly water and fat, okay? So when you have brain fog in the middle of the afternoon, hey, drink a glass of water and take a couple nuts. You know, get some water, get some healthy fats.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the brain is all about. Water's the big one. Fats here. And then there's minerals. You know, what we eat matters. But if I, you know, wanted to tell you to do anything, I would say drink water and take, like, we have an omega product. It's your healthy fats, 3s, 5s, and 7s.
Yeah.
Water and take a supplement. Feed that brain.
Now, quickly, I want to ask you about nutrition. Now, you mentioned earlier about eating too many processed foods, and this could probably be a large number of the population in North America. Fast meals, living alone, don't want to cook, you know, do the frozen meal thing, whatever. So in your education, what do you recommend as the proper nutrition?
Okay. Well, let me just start this by saying I'm getting ready to write a little paper on what does depression, diabetes, and fibromyalgia have in common?
Oh, I don't know.
It's gut health.
Okay.
Actually, gut health is at the basis of everything. All the inflammation in our body, it all starts there. So again, we have to have a healthy gut. You know, unfortunately, with depression, people think that the answer is getting on an antidepressant, and it is not. That's not to say there might not be a moment in your life where you're in a black hole and you need help desperately. Please don't misunderstand me.
Yes.
But these were never meant to be long-term. Only the pharmaceutical world wants to keep them long-term.
Yeah, you're not the first guest I've had to say that.
Depression is a gut issue. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Kelly Brogan called A Mind of Your Own.
Okay.
That if anybody's struggling with depression, she's a psychiatrist that literally handed out pills to all her clients too until she learned this. And then she got all of her clients off of them.
Wow. I just want to say again on a personal note, I feel so fortunate. I have a very non-interventionist doctor. And this is so important. I'm going to share a little detail here. I went on a disability from my then job for 2 years, had to see a doctor every 2 months. I moved from a former province to BC where I live. And he was so non-interventionist, but the insurance company you know, because the claim was long and it actually took me to my retirement, but it was a PTSD claim. So they really didn't know what to do with it, in my opinion. I mean, I didn't phone them up and ask them, hey, do you know what to do with my claim? But anyway, towards the end of it, they really wanted me to go on meds.
Right.
So I went to my doctor and got a letter stating they weren't necessary. And I am so grateful for that. They kept me on the claim, by the way. And then I left my job. But that's my little personal story of that there is also pressure depending on if you're on a disability or you're working with a medical practitioner who, like you're saying about Dr. Kelly Brogan, issue the meds. So it's almost a gold mine if you find a practitioner who doesn't do that, right?
Absolutely. And I genuinely believe that, you know, we can heal without medication and without surgery. I believe that.
Is there anything else, though, about nutrition? So we're paying attention to the gut. So does it matter what kind of diet we keep other than like low sugar? Should it just be like a super balanced diet? What's the secret?
It should be high fiber, you know, your vegetables and things like that that give you that high fiber, low sugar, and
yeah.
Absolutely low processed food. And again, I understand people are busy. It's convenient. But if you look at the population, I think the recent statistic I heard was 75% of the American people are overweight.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Really?
Now that doesn't mean obese. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Like I had seen a post on LinkedIn a couple months ago, and it was really interesting because it was an actual picture back in the 50s, a beach scene of people, you know, running and playing on the beach. Everyone was slim. And then they had a picture, a current picture of people on the beach.
Yeah.
Most of the people were overweight.
Wow.
And here's the problem with that is they may say, well, I feel fine. It's not if it catches up with you. It's when it catches up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I had this with my own husband. He became very ill. We didn't know what was wrong at the time. It turned out that it was type 2 diabetes, but it had gone undiagnosed so long that his body, he was in a lot of pain. His sugar level was 250. His A1C was over 9. And guess what? We changed that without any medication. Drastically changed his diet. We got all those simple sugars out. When I say simple, I'm talking about bread. I'm talking about cookies and potato chips, things like that. Does that mean we can never have them again? No, but they should be a treat once in a while. They should. Like when I did my digestive health work with my clients, I said, give me 80-20. Give me 80% of the time. You're talking about lean meats and fish and vegetables, salads, nuts, things like that. Now, I know some people are vegan or vegetarian, then, you know, I'm not. I don't try and talk anybody in or out of meat or chicken or fish, whatever is right for you. But that's what our diet should mainly be. Our diet should be some type of protein, and the rest of the plate should be filled with, you know, vegetables and salads and things like that. You know, basically trying to stay away from as much white as we can, meaning flour is sugar.
Yeah. I'm a vegetarian, as is my husband, for 32 years and raised our son, who's 30, as a vegetarian. We're not vegan, but vegetarian. And I'm pretty sure it has helped us. I'm happy to report I have no issues with disease or anything like that. I just have a bit of a weaker immune system because of mental and emotional trauma and things like that. But once you're aware of the areas you need to supplement, work on, take care of, feed yourself, care for yourself a little bit differently, then you do see changes in the body.
You just say, 80% of the immune system is in the gut.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you heal your gut,
yes,
it's going to make huge leaps and bounds with your health.
Yeah.
I personally believe that everyone today should be on a quality probiotic. Unless you're the type that constantly eats sauerkraut and kombucha or whatever it is that you know, the natural ones. But most people do not. So think that we are inundated with toxins today in the food supply, in the water, in the air, even with our clothing, the cleaning products. I think that the, you know, like the probiotic we have has prebiotics in it. And I don't know, you know, some people don't know the difference. So just briefly, we have good bacteria, we have bad bacteria.
Yeah.
Prebiotics feed the good bacteria so it sticks around, and the probiotic gets rid of those bad bacteria.
I would wager anybody not on a probiotic and not aware of gut health, I've been aware of it for a number of years now, but when you're dealing with things like gastrointestinal stuff, and you know, it became so common to hear about these problems a few years ago, as you would know. And I've even had it in my family. I've had friends who like had to like struggle and search for one or two things only they could eat that wouldn't affect their health. And the other thing I just want to say really quickly, I'm not pushing any company here, folks, but what I am saying is there are companies out there that are dealing with really good probiotics and supplements, and they're not necessarily, and they're likely not at all, on retailer shelves. I was educated years ago about the fact that even if you say that there's, you know, like there's only 2% or just a small amount of an ingredient in a product, that can stay on the label. And so a lot of what people might be buying in retail stores might actually be a waste of money if you're not seeing results. Would you agree with that? I'm sure you would, Patty.
I do. I always encourage people to buy quality, not buy from a box store. You know, when you're talking, you know what I mean by box store. These
I do.
Yeah, because there's fillers in them. And as you said, they can literally just sprinkle a little bit of something. It's not the efficacious amount. It's just sprinkling, because then they can put it up on there. You know, like one of the things we have for stress and anxiety, you know, it has that ashwagandha in it, right? Well, a lot of products say they have it, but they literally have just a dusting, not the efficacious amount. And I'd be more concerned with the fillers that they're using too. So if you're buying it from the corner store or those big stores that I'm talking about, I would say replace them.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like a lot of people have, let's turn to sleep for a minute. A lot of people have sleep problems for a number of different reasons, and I've had them for decades. I finally have found something that helps me, and no, it is not melatonin, and nor is it CBD. But I have found a product that helps me, and it rather than saying I'm gonna help you sleep, it relaxes my mind. So there's a huge difference, and it's all natural and stuff like that. And so it's working. It's working. So what I'm going to just say to people, the audience, if you're having trouble in any of these areas that Patty and I are discussing today, and you want to live younger, longer, that's Patty's tagline, live younger, longer, which means basically, Patty, as you said, pain-free, and having the ability and the desire to fully engage in your life, right? So sleep deprivation robs us of a lot of things. Can you speak to that a little bit about what happens to the body when we can't sleep, or we're sleeping fitfully?
Absolutely. So when we're not sleeping enough, first of all, our stress level goes up. We can't deal with the day-to-day things that come up if we don't have enough sleep. People will actually gain weight when they're not sleeping enough, right?
Okay, what makes the body gain weight if you're not sleeping? That's interesting to me.
You have to understand, when you sleep, that's when our body rejuvenates itself. That's when all the organ systems slow down and regroup so that they can engage the next day and do what they're supposed to do. So people that are sleeping, you know, like I'll have people go almost like it's a badge of honor. Well, I only sleep 5 hours a day. And you know what I say to them? Stop.
Yeah. Get 8 hours?
Between 7 and 9 is optimal. Okay. Wow. But the problem is, you know, number one, people kind of graze. So they're eating through the evening. And then whatever they've eaten can then impact their sleep, right?
Here's a question for you really quickly, Patty. What time should we stop eating at night before we go to sleep?
At least 2 hours. Now, the one exception might be a diabetic, but then they should eat protein before they go to bed, not a handful of crackers, because then their sugar level is going to spike during the night, right?
Right.
So, yeah, we need to give our bodies time to relax. I mean, I do intermittent fasting. I haven't lost weight because of intermittent fasting. Some people do, not me, but I do it because it gives my body a break.
So, okay, how long do you fast for?
Close to 16 hours most days. I finish eating dinner about 8 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. So it's rare that I'll eat after that. And then I usually don't get around to eating breakfast till 11, 12 o'clock, something like that.
You and I are the same, identical. I have zero. I want to talk about this for a minute. So I have zero desire. Food has not been an issue for me in this lifetime, and excessive weight and so on. I've had other things, folks. So I have no desire to snack, to pick, to any of that stuff. So it doesn't mean I don't enjoy the odd bowl of ice cream or ice cream cone or some popcorn or this or that. I don't deprive myself of what I want. It's just I don't need, you know, to consume quantities and quantities of the stuff.
You are one of the blessed few. For the most of us, that's not the case, I don't believe.
Really?
Yeah. I love to eat. Yeah. And I love to eat.
See, I don't. I don't love to eat. Yeah.
But what I will tell you, and this is really significant,
okay,
when you're eating, first of all, our bodies need healthy carbs for energy, right? But when you're eating empty calories, processed food,
yeah,
our body goes, oh, here comes the carbs. And then it's like, oh no, there's no value to these carbs. Well, then we need to eat more. And then we need to eat more. This is why you might go to get a cookie and that's not satisfying. And then you go back and get two more cookies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because our bodies need this for energy.
Yeah.
And so what happens, you eat this junk food and then it stores as fat because it's not giving energy. So if you begin to give it the correct things, your cravings will go down. Because I'm speaking to a lot of people that do have cravings. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, there was a time when I absolutely loved pasta. I did. I never thought I'd stop eating it.
Yeah.
But once I stopped eating it, I no longer had the desire. Will I never eat it again? I don't know. Once in a while, maybe. Like if I went to somebody's home and that's what they had, would I eat it? Of course I would eat it. But I don't say, oh boy, I want a bowl of spaghetti tonight. I just don't. And that's our bodies learning to crave what's good for it.
Yeah. So I just want to interject here a little bit. So the audience listening, we're getting some fantastic information about nutrition. We need to get sleep. So I have no doubt that you sell a product also for sleep, but for people that, you know, aren't, you know, aware of you, your products and so on, and don't have like what I finally found, let's really talk about people that can't afford supplements. What can they do to at least try and sleep, Patty?
Sure. Okay. So first of all, if they can stop eating, you know, a few hours, that is helpful.
Okay.
If you drink alcohol before you go to bed, what happens is the sugar will wake you up a couple hours down the road. I'm an example of that. I love to have wine, but if I drink it too late, I end up waking up at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock because that wine has now turned to sugar in my body and now I've got energy. Stay away from alcohol close to bed.
Yep.
Close your phones and your computers and your iPads. That blue light, that really activates the issues too. So I'm saying, you know, just give yourself a little bit of time. And then if you still need help, when I was going through a crisis in our family life, what I would do is I would get earbuds and I would listen to just a short, like 10-minute meditation as I went to sleep, and then I fell asleep. There are wonderful meditations out there that you can put short, just Google short meditation for sleep or short meditation for anxiety, but use earbuds because there's something, and the binaural beats, there's something about that being within in there. But with all of this, just know, and I had shared this with you, Carolyn Mace was a psychiatrist that I read a lot of her books, impacted my life tremendously. One that changed my life was called Anatomy of the Spirit. And she spells her name Caroline Mace. It's M-Y-S-S. So she coined a phrase that our biography becomes our biology.
I love that. And I want to ask the audience here to just stop and think about that for a second. Our biography becomes our biology. That means our story becomes our life and all of its problems and pain and what we are experiencing in our all around imbalance, health issues and so on. If someone in your home is bugging the crap out of you, and you want to respond or react to them more likely in a certain way, you can stop for a second and go, wait a minute, that's not healthy for me. I need to take control of this and I need to not get myself upset. Look for things that bring you relief. Look for things that bring you comfort. Look for things that bring you relaxation. And even if you're still on the clock working for someone else, like I had to do for many years and commute and this, that, and the other, work these things into the bits and pieces of your life where you can, and all combined, it's like you said, Patty, it doesn't happen overnight, but it becomes a lifestyle, and then you become this beautifully vibrant person.
But you know, just back to something you said there, and I believe it was Buddha that said, the source of all suffering is attachment. Right.
Yeah.
That's paraphrasing probably.
Yeah.
When we become attached to our trauma, our victimhood, all of these things, not to say we don't need to go through grieving periods. We absolutely do. We absolutely do. But if we continue to stay attached, then we're not going to live the life. I mean, I'm sure with the trauma you went through, and I can't even begin to know what you went through. But would your daughter want you to just fade away?
No. And so that was one motivating factor. And the other thing I want to throw in here is it sometimes for some people, it isn't as simple as just making a choice to look and feel better and have this wonderful, great life. No, we need motivation. And
when you need help.
Yes. And I have talked to other bereaved parents and said, well, we're not talking about that today. Quite often, surviving children are our motivation. But whatever it is for you, it could be ill health, it could be weight gain, it could be, I don't know, you're stuck in a crappy job and you can't get out of it. It could be financial problems, it could be relationship problems. It's whatever it is. It could be childhood dysfunction that's eating away at you as an adult. Whatever it is, if you can't just drum up the motivation yourself within and be willing, because you need willingness to make a change.
Sure.
But you need something to light a fire under you, even a little one, to get it going. Because it can be really, really hard to start. It can be really hard to open that front door and get out and go for that walk and want that fresh air. So if it isn't the walk, just find something that will motivate you a teeny tiny bit on day one, and then keep looking for something on day two. And, you know, it's like that, simply put. I know it's a big process, but I had to find some motivation initially to get out of bed after my daughter died. And largely it was I wanted to be a parent to my surviving son. He was only 13. What am I going to do? Like, just give up? And the more I focused on that, the more I started to think about me. Now, it's been years. Okay, so whatever. And again, we're not talking a lot about that today, but it's in the similar vein that we choose to want to be able to engage fully in our life. Because some people don't want to engage in their life, Patty.
Right.
What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, we can't convince somebody else to do something. No, we really can't. But I would just, you know, first of all, the first step is awareness.
Yeah.
Are we aware of it, right? The
second
step is the courage to change. And sometimes we don't have enough courage ourselves.
Yeah.
Lean into a best friend or lean in. And I don't mean to whine. I mean to say, I'm drowning and I need help.
Yeah.
Or get a counselor. or yes. or something. Because again, you're the only one that can make a step. But you know, when, like you were saying, sometimes people have a job that they hate and they really can't get up and leave. It's all between here and here. So what I would say is, in that moment of frustration or anxiety, when maybe somebody just hollered at you, take just 60 seconds, close your eyes, take a deep breath in for four, hold for four, out for four. Do that a half a dozen times. You'd be very surprised at how that can shift you. There are those things like EFT. I mean, I worked with a gentleman with EFT, and after a third appointment, he called me one day on his way home from work, and he said, I just want you to know that when I started coming to you, I was formulating a letter to my wife because I felt that they would be better without me. And he said, this is the first time I have felt happy in a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Three sessions of EFT.
Can you just explain, Patty, what EFT is for people that may not know?
Sure. So it's called emotional freedom technique. Mm-hmm. It is referred to more commonly as tapping.
Yes.
You can YouTube. Like, you can YouTube tapping and PTSD or tapping and anxiety. But we have meridians. And so it's basically, there's a specific meridian pathway that we have on our bodies. And we're saying things like, you know, I feel this anxiety. It's so much. I'm just so anxious. I hate feeling like this. And we go through that. But then we change the verbiage to be positive, and we put the positive energy in. Again, one session can make a huge difference. There's a lot of help out there, even like what with the Reiki. You know, our chakras, if for those that are familiar, our chakras or not familiar, are energy centers in our bodies. And sometimes we will get a blockage. For instance, the heartache that you went through. You could have a blockage in your heart chakra. If you don't do the work or get the healing needed, you may end up with breast cancer or heart disease, something in that chakra that's being blocked. Our bodies are like the chakras are the centers, the energy centers, but the meridians are like your traffic, like your roadways that go through them. And if all of a sudden you hit a dead stop, everything stops. So the rest of the body is not getting fed the energy that it needs to heal. And we are all energy. Our bodies, we might go, no, we're solid. No, we're not. They're just tight molecules. We're all energy. So we have to address the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical. We have to address all of that to heal.
Yes. Yeah. And we don't really have time to get into each of the physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, mental, and anything else that tears and eats away at us. It's enough to say, I love what you just said, and I'm going to jump on this point as we move into the work that you're doing. I want to hear a little bit about the redox molecules, but as you said, we're not solid, we're molecules, we're energy. I'm questioning whether, like, the younger that we look, I wonder if it's just natural to feel good, because when we don't feel good about ourselves, so we don't feel healthy. I mean, it really does reflect in our eyes,
our skin coloring, our hair,
yeah,
how we hold ourselves, you know, whether we can connect, communicate, and all of those things. So I'm hoping that the better we feel, the better we look. And I want to just stress here, though, Patty, I mentioned this a little bit at the beginning, but the goal here isn't just to look our youngest in a youth-crazed North American culture. That's not the goal. Can you explain what the goal of all this really is?
To be able to fully engage in life, to be able to, if you have a partner, to want to do things with that partner, to experience joy. See, to me, that's my number one life value is joy, okay? And then there's kindness, and then there's integrity. But joy is what most speaks to me. And, you know, when we're in that bad place or that dark place, if we can reach out and help another person, that will help us feel better.
Yes.
right?
Yes.
So sometimes those that are inundated with heavy things right now, you'll see them out helping others. And you go, how are you even doing that? Well, because energetically, it helps them. It's all about raising our vibration, right?
Yes. Yes.
And like you said, I do believe those of us that try for those higher vibrations, it shows in our face. And I don't mean lack of wrinkles. I'm talking about an energy. I'm talking about an overall energy. If you are dwelling in like the lowest, I think is guilt and shame, right? So, okay, maybe you did something you shouldn't have done and you feel guilty. Well, is that guilt serving you? It is not. Let it go. It's in the past.
Yeah.
It's in the past.
Yeah.
So you want to be able to take that bike ride, or maybe it's just lay on the floor and play with your grandchild if you have grandchildren. That's being fully engaged, you know? But when you don't feel like getting off of the sofa at night to do anything, that's not exactly fully engaged. And the truth is this life is a gift to us.
I don't know that a lot of people feel that way. And I say these things not to be negative. I say these things to identify when I felt that way. How could I possibly feel life as a gift when you've got so much tragedy, or you're ill, or you were abused in childhood, or you have a crappy relationship, or your life's just crappy and you have no luck, and anybody else who's doing better than you, well, they're lucky. You know, all of that.
Well, they've done the work, because, you know,
yeah.
Boss,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I haven't come across anybody that hasn't had some type of trauma in their life.
Exactly.
So if you stay in victimhood, in other words, the more you repeat your story, the more it's in your energy field.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say, like, I had a pretty dysfunctional childhood. It doesn't matter what the dysfunction was. But, you know, I made a decision somewhere probably in my early teens, but certainly by my early 20s, that that was their story. That's not going to be my story. So I was really, again, really blessed with being introduced to metaphysics and a spiritual practice by the time I was 25 years old. And it really solidified a foundation for me that I relied on when the times did get kind of tough. And, you know, so I agree with you that nobody gets away with some kind of challenge in this life, no matter what it looks like to anybody else. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors or in another person's mind. But I will tell you something, you can instantly spot someone who is happy, joyful, and it radiates. And I have often talked about if you want to feel an instant high, smile at someone.
Yes.
And I actually practiced that in the first few months of my bereavement. It really took a lot of effort for me to do it, but I made it a practice because I started noticing how miserable the majority of people looked. And if you stop and really look around, now I don't know where you are, Patty, but just look around, go to the grocery store, wherever you are, and just observe people. And I mean, no, we don't, most of us go around smiling, you know, as we're walking or whatever. But if you say hello, and whether they respond back and say hi back, a lot of people don't, or it's just a cursory whatever. And again, it's your energy. Like, I get a lot of people, I could talk to anybody in a grocery aisle. But when you're miserable yourself, you're not looking for that kind of connection. But when you can open yourself up to having a little more space in your heart to bring some joy in, it often starts, I think, with you having to be the one to make that first step. People aren't necessarily going to, you know, go out of their way and smile at you or engage in a short little conversation or whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, it's almost like service work. It really is
service work. It lifts your vibration.
You can say one word to somebody and it could change their whole day.
I know.
You know, like, I'm the type that if I'm walking down the street and I see a woman that has a fabulous haircut, as I'm passing, I go, fabulous haircut. And yeah, their face lights up.
I know. Last little story. I once went in. We have a wonderful little cafe in our downtown area where I live. And one day we walked in and I just happened to smile at the person cooking, because it was an open kitchen. And he stopped and he said, oh my God, he said, no one has smiled at me like that forever. He said, you have a beautiful smile. Thank you. You made my day.
Yay.
You're welcome. And I will tell you though, when you smile at people, most of them will smile back at you, but they will be shocked. They will be shocked. And I'm not saying overdo it and be all this honey and, you know, gooey kind of stuff. No, because people also don't like that and they can see if it's phony. Just a really heartfelt, authentic smile. Okay, Patty, let's move into the work you're doing and let's talk about the redox molecule. We've painted a picture for people, which I think has been quite clear about everything they need to get to this point where it is about the body. It is about the gut health. We've got to get ourselves mentally, and I would say emotionally, to the place we want to change. So we're now at a place where we go, you know what? I can fix my body. I don't have to be in this prison. However you're feeling negatively trapped, if you are, by your body, let's talk about the redox molecule. What is it? And I invite you to talk about ASEA. Just so that people have an awareness, there's some options out there. And even if they don't want this kind of product at all, we're not pushing products, folks, just to understand how the body works.
Okay. So when it comes to the redox, our bodies are made up of cells. Yeah. And in those cells are redox molecules, which are vital to life. Redox molecules run all of your organ systems. So if you stop producing redox molecules, you will be dead in minutes. But each decade after puberty, we are producing 10% less, 10% less, 10% less. So by the time we're middle age, you know, you start to see the aging out here, but it's also happening inside. So if you encounter a health challenge, an illness, an injury, things like that, we don't bounce back like we used to. So the product that I have, the ASEA Redox, are redox molecules, which means they're native to the body. Not all natural. Blueberries are natural, but our bodies don't produce them.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are native to your body. So you are really replenishing cell signaling molecules. And I'll just give a quick analogy because this is what was happening with my husband. That's how I got this. Is if your house is burning down and on the other side of town, there's a fire engine with the hose, the ladder, the water, and you call them on your cell phone and you have a bad cell signal, yep. They never got the message, your house burns down. We spent thousands trying to get my husband out of pain and get some energy back. And, he was getting a plethora of supplements from a functional medicine practitioner, quality products, but his body wasn't signaling. These redox molecules are cell signaling molecules. It's what turns your body on to heal itself.
Can I just ask, was your husband suffering all this from the type 2 diabetes that you mentioned earlier?
But we didn't know it.
Well, should I ask, is his body kind of like breaking down?
Lost most of his muscle mass. He was a big man, 6'4", almost 300 pounds. Now he's just looking frail, right? And he had severe pain in his hips and his shoulders and literally no energy. We were not engaged in life. Our life was on hold for a year and he wouldn't go to the doctors.
So you're saying that his body went from the mass it was to being very frail and all is because of undiagnosed type 2 diabetes?
Sure, because the inflammation took over his body. All your other diseases are inflammation-based, you know, your cancer and your fibromyalgia, your autoimmune and diabetes, all of the, even Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is inflammation on the brain. So let's get the inflammation out of your body. And the redox, you know, when you talked about genetics, redox has, you know, we are science backed. Okay. So they tested cardiovascular, hormone, immune, digestive, and inflammation. Mm-hmm. And what they found in all five pathways that the people that took it, it increased their genetic expression up to 31%. So their body was functioning at a much, much more active way.
So when you found this company that you're now working with, did you just decide, I'm going to take this ASEA alongside my husband to see what it does? Or did you start with him first just to see what the results would be?
Well, he started getting results within a week. He did. It took a full 2.5 months to get him totally out of pain, right? But within a week, he started feeling better. And I thought, well, because my interest was two things. Yes, the anti-aging, okay? But it was also, it's preventative. My father died at 44 of cancer. My mother died of cancer. I had it on both sides of the family. And I thought, you know what? I'm getting in front of that baby. So
that's huge motivation, because in your mind, with having lost both parents to cancer, were you sort of thinking that could be me?
Of course. Wow. And so now, having said that, I don't just take product. I take care of myself. I hardly ever eat sugar. If I go to somebody's house and they baked a cake and I'm having a piece, you betcha. I'm having
Yeah, I don't live on sugar. You don't live on sugar. Do you think people can become addicted to sugar, though, Patty?
Sugar is more addictive than cocaine. That's a fact.
Wow.
That's a fact. That you can look that up. And you know what people don't understand is, okay, a can of soda, right?
Yeah.
9 teaspoons of sugar. Think about putting 9 teaspoons of sugar in a cup of coffee.
Is there a difference between regular, you guys call it soda, we call it pop in Canada, but anyway, I don't drink the stuff. But is there sugar in diet sodas?
No, there's something more dangerous than sugar. Okay, so now you have these sugar substitutes, right? Which affect the brain, okay? And they actually have you crave carbohydrates, because now they're tricking the brain into thinking it's getting sugar and it's not. So now you're going to eat junk to go with that diet soda.
Wow.
It's like a cascade. It is. And I will tell you, when I went to school for my digestive health work, those doctors trained us that if your client is not willing to give up soda or diet soda, do not even engage them as a client.
Wow. Yeah.
That was their number one thing, soda and diet soda, regular soda and diet.
So what I will say about that is, by whatever means, as we lose the desire to eat certain foods or drink soda, you know, 10 cans all day long or whatever it is, drink coffee, whatever. In my case, I wanted to get rid of wine. I'm like you, if I'm out and holidaying, I'll have a glass of wine. But I stopped buying wine about 1.5 years ago because it was a depressant for me. And instead, I started making kombucha. And a girlfriend got me into it, and I resisted it for a few months. And then, you know, she gave me her SCOBY, and I started making it. Not only did it become a really fun, creative venture for me, it is a probiotic. I'm having fun making different flavors, but it got me away from the wine, which I will admit, I was thinking to myself, well, if I give up my glass of red wine at the end of a long, hard day, what am I going to replace it with? Because I really didn't want to drink juice, and I haven't been a huge water drinker until lately. Anyway, I turned to the kombucha, and I love it. But I'm not like you, Patty, with pasta or sugar or a piece of cake or whatever. I don't say to myself, you can never have that again. I just don't have a desire to drink it. So going back to when we make a decision, however that decision comes to us, to let go of anything, it just becomes easier and easier and easier once we know we really don't want it in our life anymore. Now, how you get to that point to understand what you're ready to let go of, that's a whole other story. I'm talking about the point where we know it could be a health scare, it could be anything. But don't you agree with that, Patty? When you let it go and just go, it's almost like your body resists it and just.
Well, right. I agree. I could never drink a soda now. It tastes so ridiculously sweet. I just can't. And I say to people that tell me that, you know, they're addicted to sugar, I say to them, give me 1 week. That's all I'm asking you. Give me 1 week without sugar. And you have to understand, sugar's in yogurt, sugar's in ketchup, sugar's everywhere.
Yeah. What do you think of
only stevia? One that I think is okay is stevia.
Yeah, I use that one. And
we make our own bread. I'm not, you know, sounding like Pollyanna here. There were just different things that I needed to let go of, buying store-bought bread and stuff. And you know what? Like, I love bread. Do you think that people turn to a lot of carbs for comfort? Because carbs are... Now, I'm not talking about vegetable carbs. We don't turn to veggie snacks to comfort us, but bread... So carbs are comforting because they produce dopamine.
Yeah, it's like the same thing as having a drug. But as you, I'm telling you, as you put a little bit of time between it, you will crave it less. I promise you that.
So when we're talking bad carbs here, just so people can really understand this and myself, we're talking things like what? Bread, cereals, chips, like what are we talking?
Well, remember, white. Is there sugar in it? Is there flour in it?
Okay.
But anything that comes in a package, and I don't mean like a package of fresh spinach. I'm talking about a box or you know, potato chip bags. Most things that come in a package are processed food. I even think all these health bars still have sugar and yeah.
I would actually offer that the higher vibration we're at, the more our body will resist things, food, anything that's of a lower vibration. Because food is energy too, right?
And I will say that with the redox, it gently detoxes your body on a daily basis. So I feel very good about that also.
Yes. Okay. Patty, this has been so interesting. I have learned so, so much from you. When people contact you, which I'll be putting links to your website in the description, I see that you were offering a quick one-on-one wellness check. So if they contact you, what's the very first thing that you do? Do you have a meeting with them or, you know, sort of see what their situation is?
One-on-one just like this and just have a conversation. There's no pressure. I'm not a heavy pressure person.
Yeah.
But I can help you at least get on track. Even if you're not interested in the products that I sell, I can still help you get on track.
Okay, well, that's perfect. And I know you were saying you work with practitioners as well. So any practitioners that may want to become educated about what you're doing and the products you work with, they can contact you as well.
This is a medical breakthrough. So the more practitioners I can get it out to, the more people we can help. And that's my goal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you and I talked a while back, and I would like you to end a little bit telling that quick story about the gentleman.
He was a businessman that bought the product from a biotech company. And at the time, it wasn't stabilized. So he had to hire an atomic medical physicist and their team to get it stabilized. But once they did, they had just a small amount of people, 100 people on the product. The pharmaceutical world got wind of it, flew in and offered him generational wealth. But the one caveat was, is he would have to stop supplying who he's supplying. Yeah. And he said, but I have at least 6 people that will die without this. And the pharmaceutical company said, people die every day. Think of the big picture, meaning the money.
Yeah.
And said no to the money because he feels that his part of his mission statement is being a force for good in the world.
Yeah.
And so that is his goal. And then my last thing I want to say to people is to take care of yourself because it's the only place you have to live is your own body.
I love that. And I would lastly just say before I thank you to people is I hope you want to take care of yourself because you're worth it. Patty, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been fun. Like I said, I learned so, so much.
As you're gone, it really is. And like you said, it's so much fun to talk to someone who's got that same energy and understanding of how precious our life is and how much we're going to take care of it.
Absolutely. So thanks again, Patty. I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.